I pledge my head to clearer thinking. I need that one every day. I pledge my heart to greater loyalty. I think our communities need that. My hands to larger service. Individually, corporately, we need that as well. And my health to better living for my club, community, my country, and my world. No, that's not a new Voices of Montana opening. That's, and it's not a campaign pledge either. What is that then? That's the H's of 4-H. And it's special today, another 4-H spotlight. We're going to go around the state. We're going to head up over to Phillipsburg, Montana. Our Eastern Montana nominee, Molly Arnold, is in studio today, along with her little sis, Azzy. Hey there. And also, we're going to go to Glacier, Montana, or Glacier County, Montana, Cutbank, Montana, for our 4-H spotlight for July on Voices of Montana. Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Let's start off by welcoming John Hawley again. John is our Director of Communications for MSU Extension, and really just he's 4-H guy all the way. How you doing, John?
Tom, it's great to be with you. Absolutely. 4-H all the way here.
I appreciate you coming alongside, as well as our sponsors too, PAR Montana and the Montana 4-H Foundation. It gives us this opportunity, John, to really kind of delve into the lives of 4-H'ers and young students and the leadership qualities. I want you to talk about first, though, that 4-H pledge, because it's significant, and I think it means, doesn't it mean something to every one of these members?
That pledge is incredibly important to our members, Tom. You're absolutely right. It's something that we ask them, and oftentimes we don't even have to ask them to say before a club meeting, before a county or tribal fair activity. And it's really something that as these 4-H'ers progress in their future, and we're going to talk to three wonderful young women today about their future and what 4-H has helped them plan to do, they live and die by this motto years and years beyond their 4-H experience, perhaps as a 4-H volunteer one day. But no matter what pursuits they go into, this head, heart, hands, and health gives 4-H members a foundation to grow upon.
We talk an awful lot. Of course, we've been doing this program for a while. Let's go back to some of the X's and O's again about how people get involved in 4-H. And, of course, there's a lot of activity, especially this time of year, with fairs approaching.
We are in the heart of county fair season. Absolutely right, Tom. And regardless of when we do our normal membership enrollment, which is in the fall, youth and parents can get, and others can get involved in 4-H any time of year. So if you're looking to get connected with your local 4-H programs, I encourage all the listeners to visit montana.edu/4-H, find their local county or reservation office, and find out how you can get involved. Look at the schedule of events on our website. Like I said, this is the heart of county fair season. That's kind of our prime time 4-H showcase across all the local communities in Montana. But we have many, many other activities that both youth and adults can be involved in.
How many programs can youth and adults be involved in?
You know, I should have that exact number.
Right?
I'm not doing my job as best I could. No. I should have that exact number.
It's just like so many, you don't even think about it, I suppose, right?
It's in the hundreds. And what's fun is our agents, our field faculty in the field leading these youth programs alongside wonderful parent volunteers, they're always coming up with new activities that are of interest to our youth. You know, times are changing. Technology is changing, and the things that young people today are interested in as far as career pursuits are different than what you and I were interested in. And so there's always new projects popping up, and we're always doing our best to adapt and evolve to offer the most exciting opportunities and impactful opportunities to Montana 4-H'ers.
We'll talk about volunteerism as we have Wes and Dixie Osborne in studio. For almost 39 years, they've been involved in the Shepherd 4-H Club?
Shepherd Pioneers
for that long, and we'll talk with them here in a little bit. But John, I want you to talk about, and I'll ask them that question, but why do you think that they've been doing this for 39 years?
First of all, thank you for your volunteerism. 39 years is an incredible amount of commitment and time and blood, sweat, and tears given to any program, no matter what you're involved with that long. That's just incredible. You know, when I talk to many of our volunteers or even our agents and our faculty that have been with 4-H or Extension for that long, It's a passion. They are passionate for what their expertise is in. So some of our volunteers, their background might be in shooting sports. Their background might be in STEM. Maybe they have a career that's based in STEM, and they're sharing their knowledge and that passion with 4-H'ers who have that interest to express it maybe at a young age. We enroll folks, our kids as young as 5 in our Clover Bud program. My daughter will be in Clover Buds next year. I'm so excited. And then we get kids involved. I was just judging a fair the other day. We had a 4-H'er that was 17 that joined for the first year, and we're seeing more and more of that because of the unique opportunities. And so these volunteers that stay engaged for that long, it's often so much centered around a specific passion that they have. And of course, always giving back to their local community and helping build future leaders for tomorrow.
We do have Wes and Dixie Osborne in studio here, as I mentioned. And I think, Dixie, we'll get to this in a little bit. I want to welcome our nominee right now from Western Montana, from Phillipsburg, Montana. And it's Grace Parrott from Granite County. And also Grace is with her mother, Rachel. Grace, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
How are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're doing good here. It's Friday. And we're going to have fun. It's Friday in summertime in Montana. So I think we're doing okay. Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you guys both for being here. So Grace, tell us about your 4-H club there in Phillipsburg and Granite County.
It's a really small club, but we have 11 members right now. We basically the ones that have started from the time that they were in Clover Buds and have been working their way up.
That's cool. And Grace, you're 14, right? Is that right? Or 14 or 15?
I'm 15.
And you're the oldest member of your club?
Yes.
Did your club members then, like, you guys go to school together? Did y'all grow up together?
Yeah, we did. We all go to school together.
That's cool. What do you like about 4-H? Why are you in 4-H, Grace?
I like the opportunities you can get from it and, like, the different activities you can do.
Well, and you do a lot of activities. You do swine, you do woodworking, rabbit, vet science, photography, cooking, sewing, babysitting, family adventures. Do you have like a favorite?
My favorite is probably rabbits because that's the one I've been doing the longest.
So tell us about like why you're doing rabbits. And how do you show a rabbit, by the way?
There's a lot of different steps of showing a rabbit, but once you get it down, it's pretty easy.
Well, so tell us, how do you take care of your rabbits then?
Well, you gotta like groom them, cut their nails, clean their cages out, and then obviously give them like food and water.
Wow. Grace Parrott again, 15 years old, Phillipsburg, Montana, Granite County, the Western Region nominee here on the 4-H Spotlight. And also her mom, Grace, and then Rachel is her mother here. I'm going to ask you this question because when you did your rabbit showmanship at the Tri-County Fair, and then I think you won some awards for 3 years in a row, built your confidence, and then you took something to the Phillipsburg Town Council. What was that experience like?
It was pretty nerve-wracking, but once I got into it, it went pretty smoothly.
What were you trying? Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, so she actually had presented to the town council a variance to have hooved animals in town for 4-H members. So she got her variance for her pigs.
Yeah, and you had to go to town council for it, Grace. Was that something that you expected, or how did you prepare for that? What was that experience like for you?
I had to write a speech, and then I presented it to the town council.
And then did you talk to them individually? How did you how do they finally come to an agreement on this?
So they were all in the same room as me, and after I read the speech, they all talked about it, and they let me have my variant.
That's cool. What did that show you? What did that teach you, Grace?
That you can, put your mind to anything.
Yeah, and you can do hard things.
Yes.
And you know that. I'm reading here that you have dyslexia, but you don't let that hold you back. Rachel, I want to have you talk about that as a parent, how you work that into your child's life, so to speak, that whatever it is, it doesn't need to hold you back.
Well, you know, when we first found out that she had dyslexia, she was really struggling. And then we have just pretty much worked with her constantly and reassuring her that no matter what her disability is, that she can overcome it and continue to do great things in this world.
Yeah, you're a high honor roll, Junior National Honor Society, Grace, and high school volleyball. You play basketball. You play the bass clarinet in band as well. Grace, talk about how you learned to deal with dyslexia and then overcome it for those accomplishments.
It was definitely a struggle, but I got some help for it, and I still am, and it's just gotten better over the years, and I just have to work hard for it.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool to hear that you understand what it takes to get through that. What do you want to do in life? You don't have to know yet. Maybe there's a few things that you're thinking about doing, and that's cool. It's part of the journey. But what are some of the things that you want to accomplish as a youngster?
I definitely want to go to college after high school.
And that's far enough, isn't it, Rachel? Isn't it far enough to just get that far, and then you can, Rachel is her mom, and then think things through from that point, huh?
Oh, very much so, yeah, because she's still kind of young. She's just going into her sophomore year, so she's got a couple years to make a decision. She's been kind of thinking about something in the medical field or even vet science, so yeah, she's just kind of wavering back and forth between animals and people.
Yeah. Cool. So, Grace, what would you tell people about joining your 4-H club? What's the name of your 4-H club there in Phillipsburg?
The Flint Creek Valley 4-H.
Yeah, cool. What would you tell people, you know, is fun about 4-H to try to get them to become club members like you?
You can meet new people, and you have great opportunities with different stuff, learning.
Yeah, cool. Grace, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for being, that civically minded person. Thank you for showing the love for the rabbits as well and your fellow 4-H members. And I look forward to hearing from you down the road. Good luck in school. Have you got, are you ready for fair? Have you got a fair upcoming?
Yes, I do. It's in like 2 weeks.
Are you ready for it? Are you nervous? How are the rabbits looking?
I'm a little nervous, but the rabbits seem to be doing pretty well.
Well, that's the main part then, right?
Yeah.
Grace and Rachel, thank you guys so much. I appreciate coming on today, and best of luck to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
That was fun. Hey, John Hawley, I know you've been standing by. We're going to thank you as well. And then you're welcome to stay stand by as well. We'll get the phones lined up in this next segment as well. We have a breakup coming, so we'll do that. And there is a crowd in studio here. If I could count to seven, I would say there are seven of us in here, and we're all coming at you in this next segment, as it's going to be Molly Arnold from Billings, Montana, Yellowstone County. And as I mentioned, Wes and Dixie Osborne in studio. Michelle is Molly's mom, and little sis Azzy as well. And Cody Ross and Tom Schultz back with more here in just a bit. Head, Heart, Hands, and Health 4-H Spotlight for July, brought to you by Par Montana. Big thanks to them and the Montana 4-H Foundation. A bit later on, heading over to Glacier County in Cut Bank, Montana. Spent some time there myself. as Caitlin Suta will join us for a while here, and that's in just a little bit. In studio's Molly Arnold. Molly, you know Caitlin, don't you?
I do, yeah. We went to National Congress together.
That is so cool. And you're in studio, so when she comes on, let's surprise her, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So Molly Arnold is with us, Yellowstone County, the Eastern Montana nominee out of that Shepherd Club, the Shepherd Pioneers. How are you doing?
I love it so much. I'm the vice president in it right now. It's probably one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Oh, nice. And it seems like your leaders here, Wes and Dixie Osborne, who are in studio as well, they seem like they're pretty good to work with, huh?
Yeah, they're probably the best.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us what you like. What are you involved in? What's your involvement?
So my main ones are, my main activities that I do are horse, quilting, and woodworking. I have been kind of all over the place with those ones, and I feel like I've had the most success in those few.
I like that. And I noticed some things here as well. That's me when I bang on the table. Sorry. Leatherworking. How'd you get into that, and what do you do with that?
You know, so when I got my new saddle, I got a new saddle a few years ago, and I noticed that piece on it had kind of a bad piece of tooling on it, and so I was like, oh, I kind of want to repair that. And then I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna fix it myself.
Yeah.
So then I just kind of got hooked into it from there, and I really love it so much. And I don't do it as much as I'd like to, but it's really interesting in learning how to use all the different tools and knives and things.
Yeah. So what do you make, or where do you think that's gonna take you?
So I think it's a pretty good just background hobby to do.
Yeah.
I've made things like knife holders. I've made like coasters. I made water bottle holders. This year I'm planning on making a bag, like kind of a purse bag.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's a lot more going on here as well, but I'm going to take a little switch over here and talk with Wes and Dixie Osborne, Shepherd Pioneer Club leaders for 39 years. And Dixie, how'd that happen?
So the little neighbor girl came to Wes and asked her if she could just, if he would be interested in being a horse leader. And he's like, how hard could it be? And so we've done this for 39 years. It's been just a wonderful experience. All of the family time that we've got to do together and all of the kids and people and parents that we've met along the way. In our club, we have 40 members, and lots of them our second generation, so their parents were our 4-H kids, and now their kids are involved in our club, too.
A generational impact. Did you ever imagine that as you walked into it?
Not at all.
Yeah. I'm
totally surprised at how good of a whole program it is.
So, Wes, do you remember that little girl's face who asked you, you got her name, and are you a sucker for things like that?
Yes, I guess so. I wasn't sure. She showed up at our door one day, and she said, our leaders are not going to be leaders anymore because their kids are leaving the 4-H program because they've aged out, and we really need a horse leader in our 4-H club. And Dixie and I did not even have children of our own at that time.
At that time.
Absolutely, wow. Yeah. Yes. And so it's been one of the best experiences in my life to help myself, and Every part of my life has grown because of that, all because of that one little girl that came and asked that question.
Can't thank you enough for that, for picking up that mantle, you know, at a time of need. And do you think about the number of kids that you impacted, or you just see their faces and their smiles and hope to heck that they're doing really good in life?
We actually are still in contact with probably half of them or more. They may be gone from 4-H for 10 years, and they will show up at our front door and come in and sit and visit with us for hours and hours. We interact with their children, and it's just it's all been a blessing.
It's good to hear you guys talk about those rewards, those intrinsic rewards that you get from this. Again, that is Wes and Dixie Osborne, and Molly Arnold is in studio here as well. So, Molly, you love horses. Wes is, and Dixie, is he a pretty good horse guy?
Or? He is, yeah.
What did you learn from him?
Oh, my goodness. I've learned basically everything I know from them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've taught me how to do a lot of cool stuff. They've, given me the opportunity to ride a really fantastic horse that he hooked me up with one of their neighbors, and that's who I ride, and I love it so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you guys for that and that continued service. That's just remarkable. Molly, I'm going to ask you about more of the things that you're doing there. I see you like quilting, woodworking projects. How did you get into woodworking? And you're going to make saddles, and then you're going to make a saddle horse, I guess.
So woodworking is something that I actually kind of picked up from my dad and my grandpa. I absolutely just, I think it's a really neat opportunity to, like, you know, learn stuff and use your hands. And when I was younger, my dad used to make wooden fishing nets.
Oh.
And so then I just kind of, like, really started enjoying making that process. And then we started branching off and doing more things. We actually built our own boat and just.
What?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Like, and Michelle, is her mom is staying here waving, yes, shaking her head, yes. How did that go? Where? I mean, that's not a small project.
No, not at all. It was pretty fun for
most of the time.
68% of it.
68%. Okay, that's fair.
It was very complicated, but you know, it was a good time, kind of time saver. We did it right, kind of in the middle of the COVID pandemic, is when we got a lot of it finished.
Yeah,
and so it was a pretty good like opportunity to be able to bond with your family when you can't do absolutely anything. And it was really kind of frustrating at times because there was a lot of parts on it where we had to, like, move stuff and steam stuff into shape and, like, tuck myself into weird areas to try to, like, you know, glue pieces together.
Here, Molly, come here, hold this. And, you know, 45 minutes later, there you are holding that,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was points where I had to, like, hold a piece of wood up, and my hand was against it, and my dad was drilling holes into the piece of wood with my hand, like, right there, like... Probably less than an inch away from my hand, and I'm just like, okay.
Dad's got this. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
One of the things that it's noted here that you did, embodying the heart aspect of this, you consoled a club member after they sold their animal, and it's probably pretty, I know it was very emotional for them, and you just, looked at him and said, you need a hug, and just started talking to him?
You know, yeah, so I honestly have no idea who it was. I cannot remember the person's name for absolutely the life of me. But I do remember going up to them, and they were so sad, and I just, you know, I was like, you know what, don't be sad, it's okay, you know, and I said, you know, we need to move on from things, and, you know, you do grow attached to your animals for sure, and I just said, you know what, it's all right, and, you know, they might be going to a better place.
Yeah, that's right. What has 4-H taught you?
4-H has taught me things like respect and a lot of public speaking. It's taught me how to, like, present myself out there and to be able to have confidence in myself, just kind of be able to work with people.
Super cool. Dixie, we only got, like, 15 seconds left. Are most of the 4-H'ers like Molly?
Most of them, all of them are, actually. And Molly's always kind and cares about others, and she's always happy to be involved. If you ask her to volunteer, she's the first one to say, I'll help you with that. So that's really cool. She didn't join till she was a freshman in high school.
We're going to talk to your friend Caitlin here pretty soon. Are you up for that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And happy birthday, Azzy.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Look out, Shark Tank. Here she comes. The brilliant young lady who created a cheesecake booth for a fundraiser. That's a hit here as we welcome you back to the 4-H Spotlight for July, brought to you by Par Montana and the Montana 4-H Foundation. Tom Schultz alongside. Have quite a few folks in studio here, as we mentioned. Molly Arnold is with us still. And we're going to go right now over to the far western side of the state, Cutbank, Montana. Get some highline in there as well. And our nominee from the western region is Caitlin Suta. Caitlin, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Great. I'm glad you're here. And you're with your mom, Rayleigh. Hey, Rayleigh, what's going on?
Hey, good to hear from you. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you guys for being here and being a part of 4-H. Caitlin, I'm going to start with this, okay, because I see it here. You started, I don't know why I like the idea, but a cheesecake booth fundraiser for your local 4-H club. How'd it go?
It went great. This is the second year that I've taken on this fundraiser, and it was a fundraiser that started out with our local hospital that was then handed off to our 4-H council.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It goes really well. It is a hot ticket item, and we have people lined up to buy cheesecake slices as soon as our judging is done. It's been a very successful fundraiser.
That's exactly what I imagined would happen with something like that. So good work. Caitlin, tell us what you get out of 4-H, and then we'll get into some of the things that you're involved in.
I get a lot out of 4-H. It's taught me to be who I am. It's made me a better leader, as well as created multiple friendships for me, including Molly.
Including Molly. Yeah, Molly is here. You guys know each other, Molly.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Caitlin, so tell us how you met Molly.
I won a trip to National 4-H Congress this last year through a Swine State Award. And Molly also was on the trip, and she was super fun to be around, and I really enjoyed hanging out with her down in Atlanta, Georgia, at Nationals.
That is cool. Molly, did talk about Caitlin and talk about that relationship, how it got started.
So I went into this thing kind of shy and just like, I don't really want to talk to anyone, and I don't really know anyone else. But Caitlin was one of the first people to come up and say, like, oh, my gosh, hello, my name's Caitlin, and, like, you're so awesome, and let's just be friends, and it was just so awesome having someone on your back.
Nice. Caitlin, is that sort of natural for you?
Yes, I am definitely an extrovert and like to talk to people, meet new people, and make new friends.
Rayleigh, your mom, Rayleigh, what do you think of that? How do you handle that, Rayleigh?
Well, she comes by it pretty naturally and has taken it and run with it. So the opportunities for kids in 4-H are so different than they were for me, like my son likes to point out, last century. So these kids have so many opportunities, and the networking that they do at the age that they do is tremendous. They know kids across the state, and they keep in touch regularly with them through social media. And it really builds that network that's going to be helping them and all their lifelong successes.
That is a very important point. But Caitlin, I don't suppose you think you're building a network. You're probably just building friends, huh?
Yes, I definitely recognize it as a network, though. Yeah. It's something that's important to me, having those people to rely on.
What is the secret to working with some of the younger kids that you work with?
I enjoy just helping little kids out. I want them to look at me as a role model and to be able to be like, oh, I want to be like her, and encourage them through what they want to do and build them into a leader.
Cool. When you talk about, you know, being a leader, what kind of responsibility do leaders have, do you think, today?
I think today leaders need to be encouraging and passionate about what they do. Passion gives you a drive and a purpose.
Molly, I'm going to ask you sort of the same question. What does it take today to be a leader? Because 4-H builds leaders. What does it take?
I would say it takes someone to kind of just be a good role model, someone that has a drive to want to help others and to help people be able to feel included and just be able to lead with example.
Do you, Caitlin, do you feel like, what are those responsibilities then of a leadership?
I think it's to get people involved, especially in 4-H, keeping people involved and doing all the things and just giving them something to do. It builds a community of people, and community is important.
How long have you been in 4-H?
This is my 10th year.
Nice. Congratulations on that. Wow. Did you imagine you'd be in it this long?
I did. This is something that I put my time towards and something I really enjoy. It's definitely my top priority.
I want to talk about what happens at National Congress here with you and Molly real soon, but talk about some of your projects. Market Hog, Market Goat, of course, the leadership we talked about. Are you pretty good bowman?
Yes, I'm down at my fair right now, actually, and had a really successful day yesterday. I was Grand Swine Showman and had Reserve Market Hog and Market Goat.
Congratulations. I mean, this is, Rayleigh, are you jumping up and down? Is Caitlin jumping up and down over this?
Yes. It was a really exciting day. One of our neighbor kids said, this is like Caitlin's Super Bowl. And he was not wrong. This is something that 4-H kids work all year for. So we're in the middle of a heat wave in Shelby, Montana at the Marias Fair, which is typical for fair time. But yes, we're having a great time. And it was a very successful day yesterday.
That's cool. How are the other kids doing, Caitlin, in your club?
They're doing good. We've had lots of blues, lots of purples, and we've had quite a few top awards in the exhibit building. It's going really well.
I'm going to have you first talk about what National Congress, and again, Caitlin Suda is with us, and her mom, Rayleigh Suda, Glacier County, they're from Cutbank, Montana, the Marias Fair is going on right now, and I remember that, so that's really cool, and good marks already. Talk about National Congress. How do you get to National Congress, and what is the competition about?
So to get to National 4-H Congress in Montana, you can either compete at our state Congress or fill out a state award. For me, I filled out a state award in my swine project and talked about the involvement that I've had through that. Some of the other ways are taking career communications, public speaking, and some of the other contests at Congress.
Molly, how'd you make it?
I made it in my quilting competition.
Oh, we didn't even talk about your quilting, huh?
No.
Yeah, that's a ton of fun as well.
It was fun.
When you went to this, was this your first one?
This was my first one.
And Caitlin, have you been there before?
Nope, that was my first one as well.
Oh, okay. So both your first congresses, and you met. How did you support each other? Molly, go ahead.
So when you get to Congress, it's not an actual competition. It's just kind of like a fun time that you get to have with all of your state mates. I guess supporting each other. I mean, we all talk about our projects and what we've done and congratulate everyone for their opportunities that they've won and their celebrations and awards that they've been given.
And you were maybe a little bit nervous at the start of Congress. What were you like at the end of that Congress?
Oh, I was just my normal bubbly, so. Yeah.
And Caitlin probably had something to do with that, huh?
Yeah.
Caitlin, talk about your experience at National 4-H Congress, too.
It was super exciting. I enjoyed the sightseeing and meeting other kids. Our community service project was really enjoyable. We got to go and to one of the many 4-H camps in Atlanta, Georgia, and do some cleanup and helping them restore the camp.
Cool. Thank you for that public service. I'm going to ask you a question about the four H's, so to speak. And I don't know, I mean, health, it's head, heart, hands, and health. Does any one of those mean more to you, or when you pledge your head to clearer thinking or your heart to greater loyalty? What strikes you, Caitlin, in all that?
My top H is definitely heart. Putting your passion into things like this makes you a better person.
And Molly, what's your... do we get to do that? Do you get to have a favorite age?
I guess you can.
I guess, Caitlin said, my top age is... What's your top age?
I would say heart. I'm kind of for the same reason as Caitlin. Just for, reasons as, wanting to help your community and, just being a positive influence for other people.
Caitlin, well, first, how's that cheesecake booth going this year?
It went good. We were a little bit lower this year, but we also had a community member last year match our cost. So that was really exciting.
That is. And that's what, your involvement brings things like that. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you want to do with your life?
I want to go into animal science production and turn it into more of a nutrition base. I want to work with feed companies as a feed sales rep or at a feedlot as a nutritionist.
Oh, wow. Going to school somewhere then?
Yes.
Don't know where yet?
I want to go to the University of Idaho in Moscow.
Okay. That's very good for what you're trying to get into. Rayleigh, you must just be beaming.
Oh, yes. It's so much fun. I was actually able to chaperone at National 4-H Congress, and that was my first time attending. And so as long as we don't tell the other 12 kids, Molly was definitely my favorite. And we had a great time. It was super to see kids. We see kids in poor light sometimes. We get frustrated with the generational challenges. But if anybody spends time with 4-H kids, their sense of renewal in what we can do is going to be rejuvenated because these kids are great.
So I'm going to ask you this, Rayleigh. And, of course, you're an adult, we presume. When you went to this National 4-H Congress as a mentor, what did those few days do for you?
Oh, it is very inspiring. It's great to meet kids that all across the country that are achieving at a high level. They're great public speakers. They have a passion for 4-H, which is so all-encompassing that you had kids from every background, every part of the country, that are achieving at this level, able to speak with adults, able to organize, because these events are all organized by the kids. They set the program, they run the program, and it's remarkable to see kids achieving at this level.
Cool. Caitlin, what would you say to youngsters who are thinking about 4-H, or maybe they don't even know what they're thinking about? They just want to sort of kind of do something with their hands or their hearts. What do you say to them?
4-H is amazing. It gives you so many opportunities across so many different projects. You can do anything from chickens and rabbits to livestock to cooking to quilting to you name it, there's a project for it.
That's cool. Thank you so much for getting involved and being involved in your community and moving the ball forward on things. It was really fun to chat with you. I'm really glad that you got you and Molly got to hook up here too on the radio. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, super exciting.
I think so.
Yeah. Do you guys get together? Is there a state convention upcoming? Or when will you guys see each other again, Molly?
So we actually saw each other a few weeks ago at Congress.
Oh, cool.
State Congress, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you guys stay connected in that regard. And making friends, you're right, Caitlin, it's networking. It's really cool that you you just adopt that. Thank you so much. And to your mom, Rayleigh, thank you guys for coming out. What's the name of your club, real quick?
We have the Longview 4-H Club in Glacier County, Montana.
Nice. Shout out to them. Thank you guys for that. And have a great summer, okay?
Thank you.
Talk to you guys later. We got a break and we'll kind of conclude here a little bit with some closing thoughts. One thing we love to talk about is how you, Montana, whether it's a small town, maybe it's the Marias Fair, maybe you're floating under Montana skies, or there's the roar of the rodeo somewhere in Montana. That's how you, Montana. You should plan your summer road trip right in your own backyard. Do it by visiting MT.com. Another great 4-H spotlight for the month of July. Thanks to our nominees for the program. It was Grace Parrott from Granite County. Molly Arnold still in studio here with Wes and Dixie Osborne. Been doing that. The Shepherd for 39 years. And just finished with Caitlin Suda and Rayleigh Suda out in Cutbank, Montana. John Hawley has some concluding thoughts for us as the MSU Extension Director of Communications. John, I don't know if you can top that.
Tom, I can't top what we heard again. You know, we've been doing this program for almost a year and a half now, and just the experiences and the testimony, let's call it testimony, from our 4-H'ers and volunteers just continues to amaze me more and more each show.
Any concluding thoughts? I know that the 4-H Foundation has taken up the mantle here along with PAR Montana to keep this going. I want to thank them too.
Absolutely. Thank you to Jane Woolery, our executive director for Montana 4-H Foundation, a former extension agent in Teton County. Her commitment, the commitment of the 4-H Foundation Board has been huge. And then PAR Montana, way to go. Thank you to PAR Montana for stepping in. And that's a great Billings company, if I remember their location correctly. And they've committed to supporting Montana's 4-H youth. If you're interested in supporting 4-H at the local, state, county, national level, get in touch with your local extension agent. If you're a parent or even a young adult listening today and you've been inspired by these stories, reach out to your county extension agent or your reservation extension agent, or visit montana.edu/4-H, and we'll tell you how you can get involved in all these exciting activities.
Yeah, be like Wes and Dixie, just flat
Absolutely.
Out. And Molly, too. Molly, you want to host the show on Monday?
If you want me to.
Yeah, that's good. I'll see you guys on Tuesday then. No, actually, Monday we have Chris Fortune from, original director from the Mule Foundation. Lots of things to catch up there. John Hawley, I thank you as well, and everybody in studio, Wes and Dixie and Molly and Bernadette and Cody. See you guys. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on local stations all across Montana.